I heard three things about problems. Everybody has some, and wherever you work or live, there will be some problems there. Third thing, you might be somebody else's problem. That does get our attention, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Stay tuned for more attention-getting insight from Mary Crowley. Our host is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson. On today's edition of Focus on the Family, I'm Mike Trout, and thanks for joining us as we again turn our hearts toward home and hear once more from a woman whose life has touched so many others. Doctor?
That's right, Mike. We're going to hear a recorded message of a speech given by Mary Crowley back in May of 1985. Mary has gone on to be with the Lord. She died in June of 1986, and she was our great friend, a friend of this ministry and so many other ministries. Mary was the first woman elected to the board of directors of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. She was on so many boards it would take the whole half hour to just talk about them. She was also, and in fact is best known as, the founder and president of the Home Interiors and Gifts Corporation, which is a multi-million dollar organization. It's a hostess plan business. I don't know if I can explain it better than that.
All the women who are listening know exactly what you're saying.
I'll tell you what I think of when Mary Crowley's name is mentioned. She was a giver. She was one of the most generous people I have ever met. She gave to so many different ministries, so many organizations, so many churches. She just had a heart as great as all outdoors, and if there was a need, Mary was there to meet it. As I said a minute ago, she went home to be with the Lord a couple of years ago, and what we're hearing is one of the last presentations that she made, to my knowledge.
This is a message that she gave to a group that your wife was a part of, isn't that right?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we talked about that yesterday. I'll just hit the highlights here. It was an organization called the Arcadia Christian Celebrity Series. It's a form of outreach to the community. I talked about it yesterday, Mike, and I don't know how much you think I ought to repeat today.
Well, just at least the highlights.
Well, it is an approach by which women who do not profess to be Christians are invited to a first-class luncheon.
Yes.
The kind of things that women like, you know, those dumb little salads they eat.
No, be careful.
Flowers on the table and tablecloths and really just a first-class outfit.
Yes.
And then they would invite these women to hear a speaker who would present an evangelical message like Mary is about to bring to us here by tape. And then there were little cards on the table where the women would indicate if they wanted to know more or if they'd like to attend a Bible study or if they had a question about their faith. That was the setting for the recording that we're about to hear. And, Mike, there were about 800 women there, as I recall.
Well, let's go ahead and pick up the balance of the message that those 800 women heard on that afternoon in Arcadia. And because we're picking the story up about halfway through, let me just set the stage for where Mary Crowley is. She's in the book of Judges. She's in chapter 4, and she's in the midst of the story of Deborah and Barak. Some of you will remember that Israel was being ruled by the king of Canaan, and it was a terrible time. And Deborah was a prophetess. She had sent for Barak, and he had been told by the Lord to do battle against the Canaanites. And Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, then I will go, but if you will not go with me, I will not go." And the response that Deborah made is where we pick up the story with Mary Crowley.
So as she listened to him and she said to him, "Hasn't God told you to do it?" And he said, "I'll go if you go with me." So she said, "All right, I'll go with you, but only on one condition, that you not take credit for the battle." Things haven't changed much, have they? No. So, sure enough, he was getting discouraged because it tells us over there that iron had been invented and that Sisera had 900 chariots of iron. Well, there wasn't the chariot of iron one in all of Israel. So he was discouraged and dragging his feet. So one day she came to him and she said, "Up, up, for this is the day. Hath not the Lord God gone out before you?" And I'd say to you, up, this is the day. This is the day for you to really be that tower of strength, for you to reach up and to say, "Dear Lord God, give me the strength to be the woman you want me to be." in my family, in my business, in my community, wherever I am. Yes, up, for this is the day. For hath not the Lord God gone out before you? So they marched, and sure enough, after the victory, they sang a paean of praise, and the story ends with these words: the land had rest and peace for 40 years because of one woman. So I said, Lord, if you could do that with Deborah, I just wonder what you could do with Mary Crowley. I just signed up to give him a chance. Now I'll tell you, friends, when you sign up to work with the Lord, the pay is good. The retirement's out of this world. He never lets me down, but he never lets me off either. He keeps me everlastingly at it. There'll be times when you're weary, times when you're tired, times when you think, why do you bring me these people with these problems? And then you remember that you told him that you wanted to become what he wanted you to be. And this is part of the becoming. I have a little poem that I dearly love that I have to remind myself all the time of. Sometimes this will come to your heart and it'll mean something to you. It was written by Grace Nell Crowell. You listen to the words. Dear child, God does not say to you today, be strong. He knows your strength is spent. He knows how long the road has been, how weary you've become. For he who walked this earthly land alone, each boggy lowland and each rugged hill understands. And so he simply says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. The hour is late and you must rest a while. Hold up your cup, dear child, for God to fill, as slow rain fills an empty cup. All he says of us is be still and know that I am God. I'm so glad that I don't have to be strong. He is strong. I don't have to be good. I want to try to be my best, but I'll never be perfect. He is good. I don't have to be a specimen in his museum of perfection. He just wants me to build a relationship with him that will somehow draw other people to love him more. And so Deborah was my model from the old. Then later, when we started this business and planning for this business, I found the story again of Lydia. Lydia was a professional saleswoman. She was a seller of fine goods. She was a seller of purple. She was successful. She was hospitable. She was gracious. Paul and his little team came to the continent of Europe, and so they inquired around as to where they could find a place to worship. Somebody said, well, there's a bunch of women praying down by the riverside. So Paul went down there and joined them, and he revealed to her the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day, she and her whole family became Christians, the first convert on the continent of Europe. And so I thought, she was successful, she was hospitable, she was a seller of beautiful goods. So she became my model for our business. And as I said, our purpose was to honor God and to bless and to serve others. The business grew and we were very successful, and the family grew, and along came grandchildren, and now the grandchildren are in the business. But during the years, many crises, of course. You do not live without crisis. And 7 years ago, my son and his family, that same son, and his family had been on a ski trip, and they were coming back, and he was the pilot of the plane, and they were all in the plane. And they crash-landed short of the runway in Dallas, Texas, in a foggy, foggy night. And that particular evening, as I stood by his bedside, and his face was mashed in, and his ankles were messed up, and only the rest of the family was in pretty good shape, and that's only because the Mitsubishi airplane's pretty sturdy. But anyway, that night, and the doctors had told us that there was a possibility that they would have to bore a hole in his brain and drain the fluid out, and it was very, very serious. But they let me stay in the ICU with him that night, and I'll never forget it. And it was like God said to me, Mary, I understand. I saw my son broken, hurt, lifeless, hanging on the cross. I understand. I am with you. I will be with you. And I had a sense of his presence that I can't describe to you. Somehow, in the deepest of problems, we've become much more aware of his presence. I guess it's because we take our minds off of ourselves more and we're more open to receiving him. But he did recover and he did fly again, and the business and the family and life went on. But a verse that I claimed that night that I want to share with you, which I dearly love, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will show you great and wonderful things which you know not. Are there things that you don't know? Are there situations you don't know what to do in? Are there things you can't quite comprehend? I'm sure that there are many in a crowd this size. But God says, call unto me, and I will show you great and wonderful things which you know not. Isn't that wonderful to know? God is real. He is, I often say, you know, I can call my boss anytime, person to person, collect. He's always in, and he always listens. And at night, I turn my worries over to him because he's going to be up all night anyway. As women, you know, we are great worriers, right? Verses that have been a pattern for my life, Psalms 37:1-5. They're probably unfamiliar to a lot of you. I'll just give them to you quickly. Fret not. Are you good at fretting? Most women are very good at fretting. We can sail through a crisis pretty well, but we fret. And we fret. But this says, fret not because of evildoers. In other words, don't fret about somebody else. It's so easy to fret over somebody else's sin, somebody else's wrongdoing. And it's not easy to keep from letting somebody else's wrongdoing, somebody else's ingratitude, somebody else's faithlessness, somebody else's wrongs rob us of our peace. It is not easy. It takes the grace of God. So we have to listen to him and learn from him. And we have to be committed. Wilbur Ries wrote with a little bit of sarcasm, and I think this is true of so many in our day and time. I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my peace. Just enough to feel good, like a cup of warm milk or an hour in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a black person. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not the new birth. I'd like about a pound of the eternal in a paper bag. $3 worth of God, please. Let me tell you that if that's all you want, that's all you'll get. But if you want more, God is real and ready and able to make you become what he wants you to be. He can cleanse us. He can forgive us. How many times we need forgiving? Oh, we need forgiveness. There was a movie star in Hollywood who had recently become a Christian. And, of course, the rumor had gotten around. It had been noised around the noon. He got on the elevator with a bunch of other people. And so some of them said to him, well, I understand that you're now a Christian. How does it feel? You see, the world always wants to know how things feel. It's not a feeling, it's a fact. Sometimes it feels, sometimes it doesn't. But they said, how does it feel? But he threw his arms out and he said, how do you feel? He said, forgiven. Forgiven. Jesus Christ forgives, releases us, makes us free. And that is really what we all want, isn't it? I was autographing books, The Pocket Full of Hope, and there was a line of people standing there, and there was a woman who was all vogue on the outside and vague on the inside. And as she got up to the table there, she said, make that to a friend of mine. She's into that. I said, oh, into what? Oh, into religion. Isn't that a book about religion? And I looked her straight in the eye and I said, no, it's a book about a relationship with the living God. Tears immediately came down her beautiful cheeks and she said, make it to me. I don't have that. There's so many people who don't have that. Do you have that? Oh, today, sweet friend, I flew from Dallas here yesterday. I fly back this afternoon, and I came with but one message and for one purpose, that you might know the living God and have a relationship with him and might know how much he loves you, cares for you, yearns over you. There's righteousness in the heart, there'll be beauty in the character. There's beauty in the character, there'll be harmony in the home. If there's harmony in the home, there'll be order in the nation. There's order in the nation, there'll be peace in the world. It starts in the home. I heard a wonderful statesman from Israel say one time, no nation, no culture, no society rises any higher than the standards of its women. And so I think it's so vital that we get the standards up. Look around you. Women have let the standards down. And you see it in television, in the media, in literature, in behavior. The standards have been let down. God help us and forgive us and help us to once again raise those standards up. I have on my arm a diamond watch. It was given to me by my friend Ethel Waters. Julie DeCourt is here today, and she helped take care of Ethel when she was ill, and so she'll know very much of what I'm talking about. I had become friends with Ethel Waters in 1971, and so we had sort of adopted one another because she didn't have a daughter and I didn't have a mother, and there was something special about her that endeared us to one another. And so one day she was worrying about if her money didn't last as long as she did. And I just reassured her that I would help take care of her when she got old because she could be my mom. So in 1976, she called me to her room. We were in San Diego. And she said, I've got something for you. And she hands me this watch. She said, those are real diamonds. I bought them in my heyday. And I said, oh, I can't possibly take that. Yes, you can. One of these days I'm going where I don't need any more clocks. And sure enough, a year later, she did. And I went to the memorial service at Forest Lawn. Wires came from heads of state around the world for this woman. Because so you see, it tells me two things. I have other watches, but this one is special because it tells me she was my friend, I loved her, and she loved me. But something else that's so very important, and that is that it again reminds me that to God there's no such thing as an unwanted child. She was born to a 13-year-old girl, victim of rape in the slums outside of Philadelphia. By the standards of today, society had its way, she'd be aborted. But you see, somewhere along the line, God touched her life. She became a role model, not only for her race, but for a lot of us. In her early years, she introduced the St. Louis Blues. In her mature years, she introduced, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. And so it everlastingly reminds me that every person is somebody. Every person a possibility for redemption. Every person a potential for greatness. And this keeps me ever reminding myself that human dignity, every person has human dignity, and we must not injure it. Yes, be somebody. God doesn't take time to make a nobody, but He wants to help you become the somebody you can be. He loves us just as we are, but He loves us too much to leave us that way. And the only way we can ever truly love other people as they are is to accept His love for us as we are. That's my message to you. That's what has sustained me through these many years, yes, of success and of failure, of joy and of pain, of hurt and of gladness. And He will sustain you. I highly recommend my friend, Jesus Christ. As Jody wrote on my little adorable note in my room with a basket of fruit, she was talking about today, and she said, oh, we want it all to be to the glory of Jesus Christ. It's His party. And so today is His party. I hope He is your friend. If not, please don't go away without knowing that Jesus Christ loves you and He is your friend. Thank you, Shirley, for letting me come and share with your beautiful ladies. This is a glorious day and a wonderful opportunity.
Well, for a second day, we have been listening to Mary Crowley as we here on Focus on the Family have shared with you a message recorded in Southern California back in 1985, just 1 year before her homegoing. And that Shirley that she referred to is Mrs. Shirley Dobson. She was very instrumental in pulling that group together and inviting Mary to speak with them. What a wonderful heart she has for the Lord.
She said there at the end, Mike, He is your friend. And one thing is for certain, Mary Crowley was the Lord's friend, and she gave her entire life to propagating that message and trying to bring as many people into the kingdom as she could. She must be rejoicing around the throne today, Mike, because she had lived her life in such a way as to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Mike, before we leave that subject, I have a letter here that was sent to me by Kevin and Melissa Feldato. Melissa was, as I understand it, a nurse at the Baylor Medical Center where Mary Crowley was treated and where she eventually died. She had cancer and she went through some really difficult experiences. Mm-hmm. She suffered a lot in the last few days there. Melissa observed this and she wrote me a letter after Mary's death that I've kept. And I wish I had time to read the entire letter, but the essence of it is that Mary never stopped speaking of her love for the Lord. She never stopped trying to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ right down to the end, at least as long as she could humanly convey that message. And this is a paragraph from Melissa's letter. She said, Mary Crowley was always encouraging, even when she was very weak and ill. She was a fountain of scripture memory verses that she often shared with me for one reason or another. She usually had inspirational music by way of a cassette player playing in the room for both her own enjoyment and comfort and also as a means to share Christ to the hospital staff and employees. You know, Mike, here's a woman who was suffering, who was going through this process of dying, and she was still thinking of other people and still looking for ways to reach out to them. In fact, Melissa's mother also had been diagnosed with cancer. And Mary, as a very sick woman, was ministering to Melissa and thinking of her. At the end of the letter, in fact, it says that there at the Baylor Medical Center, they still refer to the room that she was in as Mary Crowley's room. And that's quite a tribute to this great lady.
It sure is. And these past two broadcasts have also been our way of honoring the memory of Mary Crowley. This program was provided by Focus on the Family.
Today's producer was Lisa Cadman. Engineering and production were handled by Pete Stokey and Keith Valenzuela. Our executive producer is Bobby Valentine. Our host is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson. And I'm Mike Trout, looking forward to your return when we'll again turn our hearts toward home.